Blog Talk Radio.
Bonsoir and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs. It is Sunday, the 25th day of August in the year 2019, and you're now listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. I'm your hostess, Sandra London of livinggrind.com, broadcasting for you live from the sunny beaches of Southern California. Playtime with Sandra Radio is available to you via Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Digital Podcast, and livinggrind.com. The song you just heard at the top of the hour is called Billowing Smoke by Shaolin Dub. And up next, we have Dust by Amara Lorica. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. Here's Dust by Amara Lorica.
Thursday, Thanksgiving, and we're about to do accent tag based off the accent tag that's on YouTube for everybody to share how they say certain words. I'll start out, and I have two other people who would be joining me and sharing what they believe these words to spell. No. Okay. Aunt.
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 Roof.
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 Route.
Root.
Route.
Oil.
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 Theater.
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 Iron.
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 Salmon.
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 Caramel.
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 Fire.
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 Water.
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 Sure.
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 Data.
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 Ruin.
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 Canyon.
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 New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Pecan.
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 Both.
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 Probably.
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 Spitting image.
Spitting image.
Spitting image.
Lawyer.
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 Alabama.
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 Coupon.
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 Mayonnaise.
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 Syrup.
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 Pajamas.
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 Cot.
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 Naturally.
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 Aluminum.
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 Envelope.
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 Emu.
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 Ew. Voila. We are done. Join in and share how you say those words. Write them down like I did. Thank you. Bye.
Playtime with Sandra Radio, and I'm your host, Sandra London of Living Grind Emu.com. The songs you just heard were Dust by Amara Lorica, It's Over by Demoft, Electric Love Machine by Daily Chaos Delivery, Accent Tag featuring yours truly and two of my friends, and Tuna Boat by Fishheads. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. And here is Barriette by A La Claire Ensemble.
Thank you. strong on the feet, keeping my heels below my knees, but I can't help feeling weak. Every day I wake up, it's harder to breathe. And we've been on the same grid, but you feel so distant. Is the distance that's killing my vision? I can't see a way making it through this. So tell me you feel the same. Can we just get to the end? I just wanna feel again. I think we've been moving too fast. I just wanna think we've been moving too fast. I can't really keep up. I just wanna realize. Just wanna, yeah, yeah. Think we've been moving too fast.
Real shit, I ain't got a lot to say. These games that we play only make our hearts ache. And we act like we ain't asked for this pain. And we act like we were willing to change. Knowing damn well that we weren't. Knowing damn well that we are cursed. Knowing damn well how bad it hurts to expose yourself. Someone's too immersed in their own pain to go and fucking feel yours. If my heart wasn't broke, I'd have gladly healed yours. But this ain't real love, we are just children pretending to be grown. So maybe we can feel love, but this ain't that. It's delayed indifference, and I wish it was different, but it just isn't. We're both looking outside ourselves to try and fix the parts of our souls that have wandered off within us.
I think we've been moving too fast. I just wanna realize. Think we've been moving too fast. I can't really keep up. I just wanna realize.
Bye.
And we're back. You're listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio, and I'm your host, Sandra London of livinggrind.com. The songs you just heard were Barriette by A La Claire Ensemble, Water Vibes by Elephant Funeral featuring Antica, and Follow by Frontline. For those of you who have listened to my featured episode on quartering intolerance, you may have heard my recording of the first part of Interview with the Vampire written by Anne Rice. I audio recorded that. I now have the second part recorded for you all, and I hope you enjoy it. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. Thank you for tuning in. Here's part two of the first chapter of Interview with the Vampire, written by Anne Rice. Audio recorded by yours truly, Sandra London of livinggrind.com. "This really happened, didn't it?" the boy whispered. "You're telling me something." "That's true." "Yes," said the vampire, looking at him without surprise. "I want to go on telling you." But as his eyes passed over the boy and returned to the window, he showed only faint interest in the boy, who seemed engaged in some silent inner struggle. "But you say you didn't know about the visions, that you, a vampire, didn't know for certain whether..." "I want to take things in order," said the vampire. "I want to go on telling you things as they happened. No, I don't know about the visions to this day." And again, he waited until the boy said, "Yes, please go on." "Well, I wanted to sell the plantations. I never wanted to see the house or the oratory again. I leased them finally to an agency which would work them for me and manage things, so I need never go there. And I moved my mother and sister to one of the townhouses in New Orleans. Of course, I did not escape my brother for a moment. I could think of nothing but his body rotting in the ground. He was buried in the St. Louis Cemetery in New Orleans, and I did everything to avoid passing those gates. But still, I thought of him constantly. Drunk or sober, I saw his body rotting in the coffin, and I couldn't bear it. Over and over, I dreamed that he was at the head of the steps, and I was holding his arm, talking kindly to him, urging him back into the bedroom, telling him gently that I did believe him, that he must pray for me to have faith. Meantime, the slaves on Pointe du Lac, that was my plantation, had begun to talk of seeing his ghost on the gallery, and the overseer couldn't keep order. People in society asked my sister offensive questions about the whole incident, and she became an hysteric. She wasn't really an hysteric. She simply thought she ought to react that way, so she did. I drank all the time and was at home as little as possible. I lived like a man who wanted to die, but who had no courage to do it himself. I walked black streets and alleys alone. I passed out in cabarets. I backed out of two duels more from apathy than cowardice, and truly wished to be murdered. And then I was attacked. It might have been anyone, and my invitation was open to sailors, thieves, maniacs, anyone. But it was a vampire. He caught me just a few steps from my door one night and left me for dead. Or so I thought. "You mean he sucked your blood?" the boy asked. "Yes," the vampire laughed. "He sucked my blood. That is the way it's done." "But you lived," said the young man. "You said he left you for dead." "Well, he drained me almost to the point of death, which was for him sufficient. I was put to bed as soon as I was found, confused and really unaware of what had happened to me. I suppose I thought that drink had finally caused a stroke. I expected to die now and had no interest in eating or drinking or talking to the doctor. My mother sent for the priest. I was feverish by then, and I told the priest everything, all about my brother's visions and what I had done. I remember I clung to his arm, making him swear over and over he would tell no one. 'I know I didn't kill him,' I said to the priest finally. 'It's what I cannot live. It's that I cannot live now that he's dead, not after the way I treated him.' 'That's ridiculous,' he answered me. 'Of course you can live. There's nothing wrong with you but self-indulgence. Your mother needs you, not to mention your sister. And as for this brother of yours, he was possessed of the devil.' I was so stunned when he said this, but I couldn't protest.
The devil made the visions, he went on to explain. The devil was rampant. The entire country of France was under the influence of the devil, and the revolution had been his greatest triumph. Nothing would have saved my brother but exorcism, prayer, and fasting. Men to hold him down while the devil raged in his body and tried to throw him about. The devil threw him down the steps. "It's perfectly obvious," he declared. "You weren't talking to your brother in that room. You were talking to the devil." Well, this enraged me. I believed before that I had been pushed to my limits, but I had not. He went on talking about the devil, about voodoo amongst the slaves, and cases of possession in other parts of the world. And I went wild. I wrecked the room in the process of nearly killing him. "But your strength, the vampire," asked the boy. "I was out of my mind," the vampire explained. "I did things I could not have done in perfect health. The scene is confused, pale, fantastical now. But I do remember that I drove him out of the back doors of the house, across the courtyard, and against the brick wall of the kitchen, where I pounded his head until I nearly killed him. When I was subdued finally, and exhausted then, almost to the point of death, they bled me. The fools. But I was going to say something else. It was then that I conceived of my own egotism. Perhaps I'd seen it reflected in the priest. His contemptuous attitude towards my brother reflected my own. His immediate and shallow carping about the devil. His refusal to even entertain the idea that sanctity had passed so close. But he did believe in possession by the devil." "That is a much more mundane idea," said the vampire immediately. "People who cease to believe in God or goodness altogether still believe in the devil. I don't know why. No, I do indeed know why. Evil is always possible, and goodness is eternally difficult. But you must understand, possession is really another way of saying someone is mad. I felt it was for the priest. I'm sure he'd seen madness. Perhaps he had stood right over raving madness and pronounced it possession. You don't have to see Satan when he is exorcised. But to stand in the presence of a saint, to believe that the saint has seen a vision, no, it's egotism, our refusal to believe it could occur in our midst." "I never thought of it in that way," said the boy. "But what happened to you? You said they bled you to cure you, and that must have nearly killed you." The vampire laughed. "Yes, it certainly did, but the vampire came back that night. You see, he wanted Point du Lac, my plantation. It was very late, after my sister had fallen asleep. I couldn't remember it as if it were yesterday. He came in from the courtyard, opening the French doors without a sound, a tall, fair-skinned man with a mass of blonde hair and a graceful, almost feline quality to his movements. And gently he draped a shawl over my sister's eyes and lowered the wick of the lamp. She dozed there beside the basin and the cloth with which she'd bathed my forehead, and she never once stirred under that shawl until morning. But by that time, I was greatly changed." "What was this change?" asked the boy. The vampire sighed. He leaned back against the chair and looked at the walls. "At first I thought he was another doctor, or someone summoned by the family to try to reason with me. But the suspicion was removed at once. He stepped close to my bed and leaned down so that his face was in the lamplight, and I saw that he was no ordinary man at all. His gray eyes burned with an incandescence, and the long white hands which hung by his sides were not those of a human being. I think I knew everything in that instant, and all that he told me was only aftermath. What I mean is, the moment I saw him, saw his extraordinary aura, I knew him to be no creature I'd ever known. I was reduced to nothing. That ego, which could not accept the presence of an extraordinary human being in its midst, was crushed. All my conceptions, even my guilt and wish to die, seemed utterly unimportant. I completely forgot myself," he said, now silently touching his breast with his fist. "I forgot myself totally, and in the same instant knew totally the meaning of possibility. From then on, I experienced only increasing wonder as he talked to me and told me of what I might become, of what his life had been and stood to be. My past shrank to embers. I saw my life as if I stood apart from it, the vanity, the self-serving, the constant fleeting from one petty annoyance after another, the lip service to God and the Virgin, and a host of saints whose names filled my prayer books, none of whom made the slightest difference in a narrow, materialistic, and selfish existence. I saw my real gods, the gods of most men, food, drink, and security and conformity, senders. The boy's face was tense with a mixture of confusion and amazement. "And so you decided to become a vampire?" he asked. The vampire was silent for a moment. "Decided. It doesn't seem the right word. Yet I cannot say it was inevitable from the moment that he stepped into that room. No, indeed, it was not inevitable. Yet I can't say I decided. Let me say that when he'd finished speaking, no other decision was possible for me, and I pursued my course without a backward glance, except for one." "Except for one? What?" "My last sunrise," said the vampire. "That morning, I was not yet a vampire, and I saw my last sunrise."
It's Halloween night, pray for the city, throw your hands up high. So many ghosts and goblins, and mama, I love your costume. Can't take on my mask, cause this is who I am. I'm not gonna pretend like I'm one of them. I'm a musical monster, can't kill this musical monster. It's Mr. Monster Mash Mashing, hosting and mashing, stomping and clapping, puffing and passing. Out on the floor, out on the floor, and Tony passed out on the couch on the floor. What the fuck is going on? Man, I'm gone, and so is the rest of the party. Let's all get undressed and progress to adultery. Mama, I'm blessed, and yes, I'm horny. Now let's have sex right next to the carpet brush. I know that it's a prop, no, it's not. That's Uncle Fest, the molester, the goblin. He's looking up your dress, so I guess you're a hottie. And I'm an alcoholic, and he's perverted, and we both flirting. I drank too much C-Tone bourbon, cause see, you're a virgin. I'm not trying to misinterpret, but if it is for certain, I'm all on top of it. Don't worry about the beauty, 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 beauty. I'm a proctologist. I rock on this shit like I knocked on this shit. Put a block on this shit. 43, bump, bump on my chin. It's Halloween night, bang for the city, throw your hands up high. So many ghosts and goblins, and mama, I love your costume. Can't take on my mask, cause this is who I am. I'm not gonna pretend like I'm one of them. I'm a musical monster, can't kill this musical monster. They're sitting on the bench, I got too much energy. No, not for Gatorade, I'm an alligator, mate. Moving at a greater pace, I like my chances. Wanna play a game of space, I'ma take the team away. Follow me to Halloween, and I don't need a die to be considered the best and impressive side of me. I'ma be all on top of this. I'm too confident, I gotta win. They battling these emotions and swallowing my pride of year. It's Halloween night, bang for the city, throw your hands up high. So many ghosts and goblins, and mama, I love your costume. I'm a mask, cause this is who I am. I'm not gonna pretend like I'm one of them. I'm a musical monster, can't kill this musical monster.
Maybe they will carry us somewhere warm, but for now, home. All of God is all I need, but when it comes to company, oh. Days go by faster and faster in the howling wind, clanking and the laughter. I recall just what I'm after. Oh, 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 oh. All we got is a mattress and a bone. It's a bitter wind and a nasty bite. Please won't you hold me tight? All we got is a mattress and a bone. I'm a tired mind when I wear it so. Wanna settle down when I've grown too cold. All we got is a mattress and a bone. Oh.
Since I left the South, I make no measure in good weather. If a hurricane is brewing, then tell them to come and get it. It's the roots setting, truth yelling, boot kicking, shoot melter. Telling you to go to home and do better. Don't worry about my cardigans and school sweaters. This is true, my, until the apocalypse turns a new feather. For now, I'm building something similar to the highway to fly out of this city and crash and burn on a warmer climate. Strike it like a union. My father's holy communion is green tea, fresh fish, and activism shooting truth to him so the money can't justify marginalizing. Look out alive to the millions I'm living, and that's a result of the public school system. Racially defunct as it may be, it's still my origin. Oregon trailblazer, I don't need your bridges. I'm skating down the river till it melts and I'm swimming. Put this morning in the cash, it tomorrow can come and get it. My hustle is relative to the Highlander. It'll turn that sexy bravado into an innocent bystander. Between more women than Lysander and the mayor of Cougar Town, protecting that Duncan McLeod. You say leave it time, as if the journey can never travel back. But I've been living north of the wall to save your castle black. It's already a return of the Mecca, like picking Paul in second and communion grilled grits for breakfast. Beyond your daily threshold and comprehension, like Milwaukee, Wisconsin, open bar, wedding reception. God bless it, cause I ain't working with too many of them. I'm just swimming down the Mississippi, somewhere the love wind. Fresh water, no water, take me back as I am. Just a man with a few songs in his hands. No love.
Ask me how far I'm going, I'll say all the way, all the way. if I don't know.
Incorrigible unicorn. I've lived nearly 52 weeks so far this whole year, packed my travel bags with freedom and feathers, but no fear, fed some goats, kissed a kitty, ran with puppies far and near. Oh, Santa, dear Santa, where the fuck are my reindeer? I want half, but I'll settle for a third. Santa's unicorn.
Now that's better, baby. Why don't we sing a song to help pass the time? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Merrily, 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 merrily.
We'll be right back.